What does gutsy mean to you?
Gutsy means to me knowing what you want and deciding that you're willing to pay the price and going after it.
You're listening to the Gutsy Podcast, where we talk about all things real, raw, and ridiculous about running a business authentically. Whether you need an inspirational pick-me-up or a swift kick in the mental ass, the Gutsy Podcast is your bi-weekly guide to getting out of your head and back into action. I'm Laura Ora, branding and mindset coach for female entrepreneurs, and your host on this journey through entrepreneurship. It's time to fuel your Gutsy.
You've been trying to grow your business, but it can often feel kind of defeating because maybe you have a smaller audience, you feel overwhelmed by the thought of ads, and you're probably tired of convincing people to work with you. The good news is you don't really need any of those things to be able to grow. So how do you grow then, especially if you have a small audience? Well, that's what income growth strategist Marian Wagner is sharing with us today. Marian is an income growth strategist based in Denver, Colorado, and she's dedicated to assisting online coaches and service providers in achieving financial freedom. With over 13 years of experience in launching and scaling multiple six figures online, Marian combines her background in psychology with her entrepreneurial expertise to expedite her clients' journeys to consistent $8,000 to $10,000 months. During this episode, you're going to hear Marian and I talk about a lead gen. This is like the first step into the door into somebody's world. And this can be one of those really profound ways to help people understand who you are, what you offer, and how you can really help to service them. If you want to see one really, truly in action, I would encourage you to sign up for the one that I've created for you. It's a free 5-day podcast series called The Foundations of Getting Out of Your Way. In this, you're going to experience not only what lights me up and how I deliver content best, but also the information that my primary audience is most hungry for. It's this crossroads that has created such a powerful way to pour so much value into your world. If you struggle with overthinking, worrying, not being able to move, wanting to move forward, but not knowing how, this is my foundational method that I teach everyone, and I'm telling you, it's a sweet spot for getting your shit moving. It's free, and it has instant access. All you got to do is go to lauraora.com/foundations, or scroll down and click on it in the show notes. Sign up, and the first episode will be on its way. All right, Marian has amazing content to share with you today, so let's get into today's episode. Hey, Marian, welcome to the Gutsy Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Laura. I'm really pumped to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been just digging into your website and your social and stuff, and what you're doing is just super impressive and really inspiring. So I'd love to learn a little bit more about, can you share your journey? Like, what has led you to where you are now today?
Yeah, I'll give the cliff notes here. So I feel I'm like an OG in the online space. I feel I've been doing online businesses full time for 14 years now. I started off as a school psychologist and dove into creating a blog. That was my first online business. And then went from there into a health wellness niche. And now I work full time just helping other female entrepreneurs grow online businesses.
Amazing. What's been some of the interesting things that you've learned along the way as you have built these online businesses?
Oh my gosh.
that's a book of its own, right?
So many things. I would say, you know, I'll actually share one of the first aha moments that I had in the business space. And that was when I started my first business. You always hear that saying that success leaves clues.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like that holds us back because we tend to look at the Amy Porterfields and the Jenna Kutchers and all the big names and think, okay, success leaves clues. So if I just kind of do what they do, then I too shall be successful. And there's some truth to that buried under the surface. But I realized I was driving home from work one day and I was like, gosh, I've been doing this for a year and a half. I've been publishing blog posts 4 to 5 times a week, writing a blog is a lot of work. It's to be consistent and to create good content. It was probably like a 30, another 40 hour a week job at the time. And I probably had 3 readers, one of which was my dad. After a year and a half of creating content and really putting myself out there. And I was driving home and I had this aha moment. And I'm like, you know what? Why am I trying to look like a carbon copy of everyone else and sound like everyone else and look like everyone else and do all the things that everyone else is doing? Screw that. I'm going to burn everything down and just create the content that I would like to make. What kind of blog would I like to read? And I did that, like stripped down all the way. And it, like, my blog exploded after that.
Wow.
And I share that because I do feel I work with a lot of newer, like, women who have smaller audiences, but are very good at what they do. And they want to grow a serious income online. And sometimes the biggest thing in our way is that we're trying to be this shiny version of ourselves that really you're holding yourself back, actually, I think.
Oh, I could not agree more. You know, when you're forcing yourself to do something the way that other people do it because you see success in them, it just drives you further and further away from who you are and what you're here to do and how you make your biggest impact and how you help your clients. And it just, everything gets so muddy, not to mention you're draining, right? Like, yes. as you're writing this blog, you know, with a different lens on, are you feeling like drained? Are you procrastinating on it? Like, what's going on behind the scenes to make this blog happen through the lens of what other people are doing?
Completely. And I look back and I'm so grateful that I went through that year and a half, because it really, I couldn't get to point Z without going through A, B, C, D, E, like all of the whole alphabet. And I think a lot of times when we start an online business, actually this just happened this week. I'm part of this paid Facebook group for professional bloggers that we talk about SEO. And I still nerd out on that stuff. So I was checking into that group this week. And on Sunday, this guy posted and he said, "Hey guys, I'm looking for some feedback. I started my blog in January and these are my numbers and I'm feeling really discouraged and I don't know if I should just keep going or quit." And I thought, oh my gosh, this is hilarious and I'm sorry. But buddy, like, what do you expect? And I knew the comment section because these are all six, we have some 7-figure earners in there. And they were like, it took me like 3 years to get that many page views. You're just getting started. Like, you're figuring out who you need to be in order to attract the success that you say that you want.
That's so true. That time, we have to give things time. We have no patience collectively. So I guess that kind of brings up a question though, like, how do you gauge time? Right. That's kind of a big question. Let me break that down a little further. How do you, like you said, you were blogging for a year and a half before you kind of had this moment and, you know, he's, you know, 4 or 5 months into it and is questioning it. How long do you continue to move on something before you're like, okay, maybe this just isn't the right thing or it's not working. I need to hang up the hat, or do I keep pushing through?
Yeah, that's a hard one because I feel as though everyone has their own pivot points. Like, maybe they're supposed to walk through this door to lead them to the next door that leads them to the next door. And there's people that you hear that, you know, I didn't quit. And 8 years later, I am now a zillionaire. But ultimately, I think it's a matter of, do you believe in what you're doing? And do you have a vision of what you're creating and that you're working toward? And you don't have to enjoy everything about it, but does it give you a sense of purpose and industry? And are you helping people? Does it light you up? And all those things are, I guess, the qualitative measurements versus, it's not always about income, especially at the beginning, but this is the whole basis of my business is you do not need to grow this huge audience in order to grow a pretty sizable income online. You just have to have a few ingredients in place in order to make the recipe. And then you adapt and keep going.
We're gonna come back to ingredients because I like that analogy. But first, let's debunk that, right? Like, help us debunk that you have to make, you know, a great living or to make a lot of money, right? Whatever your financial goal is, to make a big impact, to grow and scale and all this good stuff. It feels like, right, from the outside looking in, you have to have a big audience because that's what the big players are doing. You have to do the paid ads. You have to show up online like 18 million times every single day on 74 platforms, right? Like, it's more hustle, hustle, do, do. Please debunk that for us. Tell us that is not accurate.
No, it's not, thankfully. It does. You do have to show up, but I think there's smart ways to show up without burning out, because I do feel as though it's so easy now to feel as like you have to, let's just say social media. And I'm not going to be banging on social media because it's a great way to connect with people and it's free right now, and to add value. But I kind of always say social media is like the side dish and you need to have an entree. I don't know. All my analogies are food today, apparently.
I love it. I'm here for a good analogy that has a great theme.
So it's the side dish. And what I see, a lot of my clients come to me, they are trying to build a business on a side dish without really putting the energy, the effort, the focus on the entree. And when I say entree, I'm talking about long form legacy content that is searchable and doesn't expire after 24 hours or a week. And instead, they're putting all their energy into creating Instagram stories or posting stuff on LinkedIn, and which is all great, but it's like you're running the hamster wheel and you're not going anywhere unless you're going viral and capitalizing on that consistently, and which there is a recipe to do that, but it's a harder path to take than going to a platform like, let's say, YouTube, and it's searchable. People are looking for answers to the problems that you solve, and you're providing valuable content that is going to be relevant a year, 2 years from now. It's just a different bucket to put your energy into.
Feels like smarter, not harder, right?
Yeah.
Like good, deep type of content, rich content that lives on for more than a firework moment.
No, I love that firework moment. Yes.
Yeah. You know, it goes up, it's beautiful for a second, and then it's literally gone, you know, a moment later. What are some other, we'll stick with our theme here, what are some other entrees that we can focus on? You mentioned YouTube. What are some other great examples of that?
Like your podcast is a great example. When people, for me, most of my clients listen to podcasts because they're women who they want something to listen to on their commute or on their, when they're waiting in the carpool lane or while they're folding laundry, and they can't always sit in front of a screen and watch a video. So podcasting, and when they find your podcast, if they like one episode, what are they going to do? They're going to go find other ones to binge and to listen and build a relationship with you. So that's legacy content that is working for you while you sleep. Another one would be, blogging, SEO. When I look up a recipe, I'm looking food blogs, and I'll follow food blogs or travel blogs, and I'll bookmark them, and the SEO is doing the work for the blogger to bring them to their readers.
Wow. And is this part of the process of being able to grow your business without having like a shit ton of followers? Like what is that kind of method look like when you don't, because, you know, again, it's easy to look online and be like, well, I only have X amount of followers, right?
Yeah.
So therefore I can't make my income the way that I would like to. What does that look like behind the scenes of like, yeah, actually you really, really can.
Right. So it's always a matter of traffic. You do need some audience. Like my dad was never going to help me grow an income online. Even though he's
got good intentions.
Yeah, it's a page view. And I classify leads as people who are actively searching for the problem that you solve. So I don't think a warm body is a lead. And some people in the online space are like, anyone is a lead. I'm like, no, because you don't want to work with just anyone. You're asking yourself, how do I find the right people? How do I connect with them? That's the ultimate question in the online space, right? So there's three ways to build your audience to grow traffic. It's the three B's, right? Buy, borrow, build. Build is the hardest one, but it's necessary. And that's when you pull on your work boots and your gloves and you get to work creating content that is branded, is add value, and it's representative of what you do and how you help people. And that takes a lot of work. That's like building the SEO or hosting a podcast, creating content. Buy is paying Zuckerberg and friends to get your content, your stuff in front of people. I didn't say the right people because that's a recipe in itself to find the right people when you pay for ads. So that's another podcast episode. And then there's borrow. Borrow is my favorite way. This is what I teach people. And that is especially helpful when you're growing, when you don't have maybe the budget for ads, or you don't, you want to expedite your growth. And that is just basically going to where your people are in audience pools that are already created and getting in front of them with your message.
And is that like an example of being on other people's podcasts?
That's a great example. Yep.
That's one of my favorite things to do, you know, because speaking comes natural to me. Sharing messages verbally comes natural to me. So I'm like, okay, let's work smarter, not harder here. What just flows? Speaking. So let's get in front of other people's audiences by being a guest and providing just an incredible amount of value in a short period of time. And to your point, it introduces you to a whole new group of people that may have never found you otherwise, or if they did, it certainly would have taken a lot longer.
Completely. And it's also a value when someone has a platform, I have a podcast, the Small Audience Big Income podcast. And when I bring someone on and they're like, well, I've never heard of Laura, bring you on. And then you get in front of my audience and it's me sharing value with my audience because it's someone who I'm like, what they have to say is different than what I have to say. And that's value. So it's a win-win all around. I think when you find collaborative partnerships that are, it's win-win-win. It's win for both of the collabs partners and also the audience.
For sure. I know that sometimes people get hung up in like the details or the how, right? Like, okay, I hear doing this, but how do I choose? Where should I focus my time and my energy? Do you have any recommendations on kind of where to start when you're looking at doing some of those collabs or borrowing that space?
Yeah, I mean, there's different levels to borrow audiences, right? You could start off if you're newer, you're just kind of getting out of the gate and you want to do something more behind the scenes, not like, I need to order a microphone and learn how to talk on podcasts. If that's not your jam just yet, that's okay. You can do it simply on like Instagram, to be honest. I always say like, make two top 10 lists. A top 10 list of people who are where you want to be in 2 to 3 years. They're ahead of you and they're already growing the audience and successful. And make a list of the top 10 and then go add value to their account. Again, it's not competitive. I think in successful circles in the online space, people don't view other people as competition. It's like an abundance, we all rise together thing. But it's adding value to their accounts and being, if you're funny, be funny. If you like to use emojis or exclamation points, then use that in your comments and connect with them. The other top 10 list that you can make is people that are in related niches that serve the same ideal client that you do. So I'm a business coach. Examples of related niche people might be Pinterest experts, SEO strategists, people that do things that my ideal clients would be interested in, and then go comment, engage with them and build relationships with those people. Those are your friends. Those are your partners. And that's how you can build without much effort or much time, and it's free.
It is free and it's a tool. I mean, we're sitting around scrolling anyway, you know, and just infusing some of the time in there to make those intentional connections. And I think that's a really important piece, is the intentional connection, right? Because I'm certain you get these and I get them too. Just the cold out of nowhere, you know, straight to the buy type of scenario messages. And it's like, hold on a second. Oh. Let's get to know each other first. Like, nothing beats a good voice message, right? Where mm-hmm. you can like genuinely hear somebody's voice. Like, hey, I just really want to build a connection with you. I think what you're doing is interesting. You know, I'd like to see where this goes type of deal. Like that authenticity, that very short intentional moment really can make a big difference.
Absolutely. And I think just doing that without any expectation on your end of the response. And yeah, but you said voice notes are so big. One of my best friends in the online space is also a business coach, and we connected because I watched her stuff and I sent her a private note just saying like, oh my gosh, I had never thought about that with LinkedIn. That's amazing. And she sent me a voice note back and we connected from there. And it's just a matter of, well, doing business in the online space can be kind of lonely sometimes. Yeah. So don't be afraid, even if you're an introvert like me, to just reach out and make those connections, because that's how you can grow opportunities to collab with people and borrow audiences in a very smart, easy way.
Absolutely. Earlier, you mentioned the ingredients to make this special soup, so to speak, of what is helpful and successful. Can you give us what those ingredients are and how they work?
What recipe was I talking about?
Well, we were talking about the recipe of like, we were talking about busting the myth that you don't need a large audience. You don't need the ads and all that. You're like, you just need these few ingredients.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So in terms of the first ingredient is honestly to just do your own voice, like be you. If you're quirky, if you're awkward, be that. If you are sarcastic or you tell weird jokes or whatever that is, to really just make the decision to, in the online space, if you are a service-based business, people have to kind of see you, whether you like it or not, a little bit behind the scenes, because I think, and maybe you would agree with this, people more so now than ever, they crave authenticity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they want to know that they're not talking to an AI robot. They want to know that when they work with you, that you're a real person and you actually give a damn about their success, and that you're an obvious choice for them to trust you to help them achieve what they want to achieve. So that would be number one, is just to be you. Number two, I think it's so simple, I guess, but I see it a lot, is make sure that you're really clear on what you do and how you help people. And don't hold back with opening doors for people to step through to work with you. I guess you could also call that selling. You have to meet people where they are. It's not about your timing. Just because you set the goal to have a 20K month doesn't mean that the audience you have right now is ready to go. So you have to consistently be opening doors and saying, if you have an opening for one more one-on-one, share that and share it with excitement and be proud that you, and I guess share your enthusiasm, because people care more about how you say it than what you actually say. And when they're ready, it's that opportunity meeting their readiness.
Listen, knowing that you want to do something is one thing. Knowing how to do it and what steps to take and getting out of your head to actually do it, that's a whole nother game. The number one thing that stops women from moving forward is not time, it's not money, it's not responsibilities, it is themselves. And if you find yourself wanting to move forward but stopping yourself, getting an idea and talking yourself out of it, or just getting caught up in the mindfuckery of this whirlwind that's happening in between your ears, then I would love to help you by giving you the foundational method that I've used to shift all of this and so much more. It's a free 5-day podcast series. So if you're digging the Gutsy podcast, it's just like this, but in micro doses, 20 minutes in your email every day, teaching you the foundational way to get out of your own way. It's a method that you can apply in life, in business, in relationships, and most certainly with yourself. you want to grab instant access, like I'm literally going to send it to you immediately, go to lauraora.com/foundations or scroll down and click on the link in the show notes. Yeah.
That makes sense.
It really does. When you, when you were talking about that authenticity of people wanting, just craving that honest connection, some of my best content is me like sitting at my makeup stand in the morning and my hair is a mess and I have no makeup on and I'm just being super me. Look, my peace, my happiness, and my success started to show up when I started to act more like myself. And I just like peeled back the layers. And it wasn't that I was trying to be somebody else,
right?
But I just got caught in like what I should do. Right. And I found that the more that I am me, the more things increase in a great way. And I'm always surprised when people, I'll respond to somebody's comment and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you responded.
Right.
And I'm like, how simple, right? Like how such a simple gesture. But taking that, 10, 20, 30 seconds to read and respond to somebody's comment sometimes is enough to create a raving fan that just wants to be a part of your world, right? Like we're just so hungry for connection that something as simple as replying to a comment can be life-changing in a moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel as though people, they're, depending on your niche, they're kind of over the polished, curated, perfect Barbie feed. And really it's okay to share the human side and to just, I don't know. And like you said, I like what you said here is like, you weren't trying to be something else, but it's maybe in that path that you figured out like, okay, this just feels natural. I'm going to go with it and we'll see how people respond.
That's kind of the whole game of business, isn't it? Like you start one way and then things just kind of begin to, it's like water. It just becomes to morph and to shift and to go in lots of different directions. And I think our whole job is to just continue to check in with ourselves along the way to say, okay, is this working? Do I like this?
Yes.
How can I be more me? And that process over and over again, you eventually just, it just becomes you, right?
It's so funny. I was talking with a client about this the other day and how in the online space, you must develop some thick skin. In order to be an entrepreneur, you have to have a thick skin. You don't start off that way. I didn't. And you grow it over time because no other business, my husband, bless his heart, his meetings aren't broadcasted on YouTube. His performance reviews and all his stuff isn't on social media for people to comment and, engage with. It's behind the scenes. And in the online space, what you do, what you create, you're kind of being like, okay, here you go, world, judge away. And, for the most part, I think humans are amazing and they're super kind. And that's, I guess in my communities, I've always had really cool people, but there's been times where you're like, whoa, number one, how'd you get here? And why are you staying around? Like you can go and you just kind of have to, keep focused again on your vision and what you're building and who you want to work with and to get so busy focusing on that the low points or the frustration or just like the negative Nancys that pop up every now and then, they just kind of, you just kind of flick them away. Okay, another ingredient. Do you want the next?
Please.
Email is you want to build a list and engage with your email list off of social media, off of your blog, your YouTube channel, wherever you are, your podcast. And I will say that the majority of my conversions, the majority of my selling, majority of the conversations, I get people responding to all my emails. Like I'll ask for their input on things, hit reply. It is such a higher percentage of engagement rate and than an exposure rate than anything else.
Email is, it's one of those, I don't know, I've had an interesting relationship with email. I've like hated it and then I've loved it. And then it really honestly has come back still to how do I want to do email?
Yes.
Right. It really is this perfect connection between how do I want to do it and what does my audience want and need? And I think if you can find that crossroads where those two things meet, everything changes.
Yeah.
Everything changes.
Completely. And I think also because you are so good at talking and you have a podcast that is so consistent that it's kind of like a verbal email, I guess. Like you're showing up consistently and adding value in this way. And that's what your audience likes. I love to write. And so it's a natural platform. And so, and I can tell deeper stories than on email than on social media, but you tell stories. This is a storytelling platform on podcasting.
Yeah, for sure. And again, like it, don't make it complicated. It doesn't have to be this whole ass thing. Like less is more, you know, good value, good content, you know, doing what feels right. Make it what you want it to be. Like anything sustainable in business has to be rooted in some level of enjoyment, right?
Yes. Or
delegate the shit, right? Like, and that's not usually the tasks that are needed of you. So if it's not feeling right, change it. Like you're allowed to change things.
Yep.
All right. Any other ingredients?
I think just the mindset of knowing that no one's going to do it for you. Like no one's going to come along and no magic wand. It's just a matter of saying, am I interested or am I committed? The answer to that is found not in what you're thinking, but in what you're doing. If you look at your actions today and fast forward a year from now and say, could I reasonably expect to get the results that I say I want a year from now if I keep doing what I did today or this week? And if the answer is yes, then keep going and like kick ass. But if it's, you know, you got to be honest with yourself and you're like, no, something's got to change, then you need to say, okay, what do I need to do? And what do I need to stop doing in order to make this happen?
Those are hard decisions, right?
Oh, so hard.
Especially when it is something that you do actually kind of enjoy, right? Like just because, like, I don't know that we talk about this enough, just because you do enjoy something doesn't mean that that needs to stick around either, right? Like I can do fun things in my business all day long, but that's not going to pay anything. You know,
right.
that's not going to grow the business per se, but you have to choose, right? You have to be really intentional about where you're investing your time and your energy.
Oh, completely. Yeah. There's not an ROI. There's not an ROI guaranteed for anything in the online space. And sometimes it's the stuff that you enjoy doing that you're like, oh, like I have a client who it's so weird. She loves making reels. I do not. So I'm like, it's so weird. Maybe you should do that for your business. But she loves making reels, but they don't really, there's no ROI yet for her to do that. And we need to take some of that time and put it in another bucket. So she can make 3 reels a week. That's her the limit.
Yeah, again, that kind of comes back to, and I know someone's scratching their head right now. And it's like, okay, well, I love to do it, but could that be a tool that brings people in if I'm doing it? Or if it's not ROI positive, do I need to tweak something with it? Right. Like it's another one of those, you know, it's the seasoning in the recipe, so to speak, of finding the marriage between the things that I love to do and the things that are ROI positive.
It always comes down to data over drama. And you got to look at the numbers, and the numbers don't lie. And if the numbers aren't supporting the time is money, and the money that you're getting from the income that's coming in from that effort, then it's not, it needs to be cut. And you can't reasonably expect to do just more of that and get a better result. But that said, you also have to ask, like, have I been doing it consistent? Have I been doing this long enough? That goes back to the blogger guy, right? Who's been doing it now. It's April, 4 months he's been showing up. And he's refining his craft and putting in the reps. But sometimes you got to put in the reps for like a lot longer in order to deserve the amount of success, to deserve the page views, and to really know get his voice and his what makes him unique. And he can't find that by showing up for 4 months sometimes. Like, unless you're a Kardashian, you're probably gonna have to put in more time to get there. So, and it doesn't really, again, like my whole perspective is this destination, it, you know, people throw around the six figures number all the time. To grow a six figure, I mean, my second online business, I grew that to six figures in 9 months. But that was because I knew the ingredients. I knew what to do, where to focus. And I had an infant for when I grew that business. And so I didn't have a lot of time to marinate in the fluff. I had to get her done, put the blinders on, and then go to sleep when I could and get up and do it again. And when you put yourself on that level of focus, it's shocking how little time you need to actually move the needle and grow an income.
You are so right. That fluff is nothing but distraction. That's where all the time is going. That's why things are taking forever. That's why things aren't moving the way you want it to, because you're focused on the fluff stuff instead of the impact stuff. What's the difference between fluff and focus? Like, what maybe some examples of activities that might be fluffy that's not, that you avoided, that you were like, nope, I don't have time to do that?
Yeah. I mean, the obvious one would just be scrolling. If you're consuming versus creating, consuming doesn't grow an income. And don't get me wrong, I set a little timer. I have a timer here on my desk. I set a timer for my scrolling so that I can check that box and move on. But then I delete apps because I don't want that distraction. Comparison, again, is something that can really kick in if you're busy consuming in the online space. Shiny object is that will kick in too, because if you're busy not creating with purpose and focus, then it's easy to get distracted. And then you forget what you were focused on. And then you think like, oh, okay, this podcast, I really wanted to start a podcast. I got 3 episodes, 4 episodes in. I don't know. Oh, maybe I'll start a YouTube channel. And you drop what you're doing and you go do something else. And it's that this isn't working. Let me try something else. This isn't working. Let me try something else that will just keep you stuck. And you have to get focused. And yeah, don't know if that makes sense.
Well, it makes sense. And again, nobody's coming to do that for you. As you mentioned earlier, you have to have your own discipline. You have got to. Otherwise, that time will just keep passing by and you'll just be looking at the clock and looking at your bank account and being like, why isn't anything working? You've got to have the discipline to stay focused and get in and do the shit that you got to do. Otherwise, it's just not going to move.
And it's yes. And it's so funny because I feel as though for most entrepreneurs, for most business owners, it's not really a matter of hard work. Like if you start a business, chances are you're a hard worker. You're not afraid of that. But sometimes the question is, okay, I want to work, but what do I do? What do I need to focus on? Like, I'm not afraid of doing the work. Just tell me what to do.
Yes.
And that can be very overwhelming and very frustrating, confusing, because there is so much noise and there's a lot of bad advice in the online space telling you that you need to do this and this and this and this. And then all of a sudden you want to shut down because you're human. There's no realistic way that you can do all those things. Right.
Right. Well, and it's discouraging.
Yes.
It's yes. So discouraging to be, you know, making yourself do these 5 or 8 things and it's just not working and you're depleted and it doesn't make you want to continue to work on it, right? It does make you want to scroll because that feels easier right now in this moment. So what are some recommendations on how to choose what to focus on? Do you have any tips on how to go like get into your zone?
Yeah, I think the word discouraged is so spot on because it's, I mean, even when you talk about it, I'm like, ah, man, I've been there. And I think that's important. Even though I've been doing this for, you know, 14 years, it's still something that even you see people online that you're like, oh, Amy Porterfield never feels discouraged. Oh yeah. It's frustrating to feel like you have to do everything. I personally feel like focusing on the main things, which is making sure that you have if that can just be so simple, the framework, making sure that you have an offer that is so dialed in, so spot on, so sexy that it's compelling as heck to your ideal client, that they're like, oh my gosh, where has this been my whole life? Like that's number one. You have to have an offer that is really, really good. This is, I work with a lot of my clients on, like, for weeks, we develop the offer piece because it can't just be, you can't just throw something up anymore and it sell. It's got to be compelling. That's number one. Number two, then traffic. How do you generate that traffic? Bring in people to your space because you can't keep saying the same thing to the same people. You're never going to grow. So those two things, if you just focus on those two things, then you can naturally expand, but that's where I would start.
Amazing. That clarity, that like zone in is so underrated.
Yeah.
It's so underrated. And I love that you were sharing too about like creating predictable streams of that traffic coming in. Like, I think that's one thing that as entrepreneurs, we're all hungry for is like consistency because
Yes.
heaven knows that entrepreneurship is not consistent. What are some recommendations on creating that consistency so that like people are just consistently coming in the door?
Yeah, that my love language is like, well, I don't know if it's a love language, but I crave safety. Like I
Yes.
need to have predictability in my business, otherwise I can't sleep. And I know I'm not alone. So basically what my I have a my book coming out. I don't know if I can mention it,
Please. Oh
but
my gosh, please.
okay,
Yes.
it's coming out. It's called Small Audience, Big Income. But in this book, I basically break down what I feel like is the easiest, best way to create predictable lead gen. And it's through what I call lead gen events, which is just very small. We're not talking big burnout, like 50-person summits. I have an 11-year-old and I have now a 1-year-old. Again, starting all over. I don't have time for the big events, but I create consistent lead gen events that are very small, collaborative, audience sharing, value-packed online events that are focused on just speaking to an ideal client audience and sharing knowledge. And I can tell you, if you host one of these once a quarter, it's very predictable, 90-day cold traffic to new client kind of life cycles.
Wow. That's great. You know, and I would imagine it probably took you a little while to find your thing, right? Like those work really well for you. Maybe that doesn't work well for someone else. Again,
Yes.
do the thing for you, right? This is your thing and this works super well for you. And I think it can work super well for some other people. But I like it's like this wash, rinse, repeat too, right? Like you're not recreating the wheel every 90 days. You're not like throwing spaghetti at the wall. You've done it. You've tweaked it, and now it's consistent. Like this is how you're consistently bringing people in, and I want people to find that for themselves.
Completely. And I feel as though that's what you just said there is so important because it can be a shiny object for someone who's like, that doesn't speak to me, but I guess I should do that. No, there's nothing that you should do. It has to really speak to you. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Yes. Yes. And I got to share, like I recently just did this for myself, right? Because I did not have that like first step in, right? Like that intro, we'll call it the lead gen, the first step into the Laura Orador. And what we developed was like what I'm really good at is helping people get out of their head. And the other thing I'm really good at is talking. Amazing how actually simple it is to develop something when you just look at like the strengths and what people are really hungry for and what you're really good at. And again, you bring those two pieces together. Surprise, it's actually fairly simple to pull these things together and doesn't have to be so complicated. So I have a 5-day private podcast where I send you 20-minute episodes once a day, every day for 5 days. And I teach you the foundations on how to get out of your head.
Oh,
And
that's
it's like, it's literally the process that I teach everybody. I'm like, I'm literally already doing this. Like, why don't I give people a way to do this? And one of my values is like, I don't want to be on all the time. I really thrive in my down space, right? And I think knowing some of these things about yourself is so impactful. And so this is a way like people are signing up in the middle of the night, right? Like I'm not having to expend myself, but I'm also helping to make an impact. Like to me,
yes.
that's a win-win situation.
Yes. Brilliant.
So you got to just give yourself permission to do the thing that feels right to you. I feel like somebody needs to hear that really loud and clear right now.
And give yourself permission to say no to things that don't feel exciting or you have resistance there. And I think sometimes it's okay to be curious about your resistance. Are you resisting because it sounds like a lot of work, or you just don't think you're good enough or you're there yet? Or is it because, like, yeah, that doesn't feel like I wouldn't like that if I was my client. So just because it works for her, maybe for my ideal client base, like, that would be a turnoff, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So many decisions in this entrepreneurial world, isn't there?
It's fun.
It's fun. It's an adventure, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I know that we could talk all day long about so many different little, you know, nuggets of wisdom here. Any parting advice on growing your income with a small audience that we have not yet covered today?
I would just kind of say that oftentimes, especially, I know you have a lot of women that listen, but in women, just psychologically, oftentimes we want to wait until conditions are perfect to take action. And waiting for conditions to be perfect is basically an automatic loss in the online space. And I feel as though, I'm just going to encourage anyone listening right now, if you have something on your heart, or you know that there's another level that's just right there around the corner, you can feel it, is just make the decision. You're just one decision away from completely changing your business, your life. And sometimes we know what it is within us. It's just, we have to shine a light on it and be like, okay, I'm ready to acknowledge you. I'm ready to do this. It's scary, but I'm going to do it anyway.
I love it. We'll just plaster that on billboards in cities around the world, because that's what we all need to know and hear. Yes. Marian, I want to make sure that everyone knows where they can connect with you. You have a book coming out, which I want to applaud you. That's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, so thank you.
Tell us the best places to find and connect with you online.
Yeah. So I mentioned my podcast, Small Audience, Big Income. And then that's also my Instagram. I also have another Instagram, which is Marian Wagner Coaching. And yeah, I think that's, and I think what I'll share, just because we talked about lead gen with you, is I have a list of, I think it's 130 plus lead magnets that are really good, and they're broken down by different niches, and that will hopefully spur some ideas for anyone who's wanting to really work on that top end of their funnel.
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah, we'll absolutely put a link to that in the show notes here as well. Marian, cool. My final question for you today is, what does gutsy mean to you?
Gutsy means to me knowing what you want and deciding that you're willing to pay the price and going after it.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time and your guidance today. I love that you're helping support small businesses to grow. I mean, this country and so many others are just built on small businesses growing and thriving. And I think that the more money that they're all making, it just supports everything and everyone around them. So thanks for the work that you're doing, my friend.
Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome. Marian has so graciously provided that amazing resource for you. So make sure that you scroll down to the show notes of this episode and click on that free resource of those, like, it's over 100 lead magnet ideas. I want you to go through that and find one that really resonates with you. And of course, if you want to see one in action, go to lauraora.com/foundations and absorb that information, my friend. Learn how to get out of your own way so that you can move forward doing the things that you actually want to do. I'd love to hear from and connect with you. So find me on Facebook, TikTok, or Instagram. I'm @ Laura Ora on all of them. And until I see you next time, stay gutsy.